You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. So we ended up with this review with just Mike and me, because despite me telling people for the years since the first Paddington movie came out, you guys are not listening to me. This movie's fucking awesome.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Yeah, exactly. You're like, it just goes right out of your head. Like, there's no way the movie Paddington,
there's no way Paddington
is
Bear
as good
as, is as good as it is. As but Chris it turns out saying. It totally is.
Yeah,
but.
And that's the thing. It's only two people, and I'm going, you people don't know what you're missing out on. And Mike's looking at me skeptically for the movie. He's like, I just showed up because I felt sorry for you.
I did not say that.
Yeah,
I said, I showed up because it was my birthday, and you promised me food. It was cute.
and you got lots of marmalade.
I did.
Yeah, virtual marmalade.
So it was very sweet.
But yeah, and then it ended up being like, afterwards you were like, literally like, sorry I didn't believe you. That was everything you said it was.
I originally didn't believe, well, because it's just one of those things. It's like, when somebody's like, something British is awesome, I'm like, is it? Or is it just really dry?
I mean, I feel like the only British thing you ever went and tried when someone said that to you was Downton Abbey then. I don't know what else. Most things when people tell me that it's British and it's awesome, I'm like, wow, it was awesome.
You know, it's just like, I had friends back in like high school that used to be like, this thing's really good. And you'd watch it and it's just really dry. And you're just like, I can't go with this.
But this is not that type of movie.
No, this is completely opposite.
Now, Paddington Bear is based on a series of books created by Michael Bond. I grew up reading, even though they were much more of a British thing, but we had some British family, I guess, so that's where they got entered in my life, about Paddington Bear, who's a little bear cub who gets adopted by a British family, and then everybody loves him, because despite the fact that he regularly finds himself in the middle of, like, absolute chaos and destruction, he's like one of those, he's just so guileless, he's just so about politeness and loving everybody.
He's so charming.
Yeah. And Paddington, the first movie, was a big hit in England. Nobody saw it here. And it won several BAFTAs, which is their version of the Oscar. So, you know, it was a big deal over there. So not a big surprise they were going to get the gang back together and make a second movie, which there's a giant series of books. So it's kind of like, okay, well, you got a lot of room to draw from stuff. I'm not entirely sure the degree to which this is or isn't based on one of the specific books, but who cares? Right?
Yeah.
Paddington, who's got his little floppy rain hat and raincoat, is very happy living with his family with Hugh Bonneville and Sally Hawkins and their two kids and Grammy. And he realizes that his aunt, who we see in a little prequel sequence, like is who saved his life and is the one who raised him, who's a bear, you know, has never been to London.
He's
always very jealous that he got to go to London.
I don't think she's jealous that he went to London.
Well, I mean, she like said her dream was always going to go to London.
Yeah, but that's not saying she's jealous of going.
She's a little jelly.
That was just always her dream in general.
She's a little marmalade.
She's a little marmalade. Yeah, you beat me before that. But no, like the main thing to understand though in the beginning of the movie is that the movie sets up, that his life is damn near perfect at this
Everyone
point.
Loves him in the neighborhood except
everyone
for
except
Doctor
for Doctor Who.
Who,
yeah.
Yeah, Peter Capaldi, who is like just a hard ass and wants to convince everyone Paddington's up to no good.
He keeps trying to throw him into a box of some kind. Yeah. He keeps saying it's bigger on the inside. No one knows why.
But one of the guys he's friends with, which everybody loves him in his neighborhood, Jim Broadbent, runs an antique store, and he goes there shopping for a gift for his aunt and finds this beautiful pop-up book that's sort of like the pop-up 12 places in London.
And there's only one in the world.
Yeah, there's only one in the world, because it was made by this woman who had started this steam circus, they call it, you know, who's now long since dead, but they've like apparently had shipped over a bunch of her belongings there, and this is one of those things. But he's like, well, it's the only one in the world. It costs a lot of money, so
it's 1,000 coins.
Yeah, 1,000 coins, whatever that adds up being, because we're never clear how much
said
coin
what British money
is.
Pounds or whatever.
And so he's like, well, I'm going to get jobs and earn it, which leads to a whole sequence of extremely cute and funny Paddington trying to earn money.
And they're all sequences that do go somewhere eventually,
yeah.
Which is the most surprising part. Well,
almost everything
that.
In this movie pays off in some way. Even little tiny minor things come back around and pay off in a very funny, unexpected way.
Exactly.
But anyway, enter Hugh Grant, who is a actor, one of those type, I'm an actor, but he's a real prick and totally full of himself. And
he was once arrested for hiring a prostitute. Oh, wait, we're still talking. We're not talking about Hugh Grant.
Not Hugh Grant, his character in this movie. And he, when he hears basically from Paddington the story of this book showing up there, and apparently this book is tied to a hidden treasure, the treasure of the owner of the circus that nobody ever found. And so he decides to steal it. Paddington sees him breaking in, although he's wearing stage makeup, so he doesn't know it's him.
Yeah.
And chases him through, but the cops only see Paddington. And Paddington, yes, the whole middle of this movie is Bear in jail, with Paddington in jail. And while the family's trying to solve the mystery from the outside, he is dealing with prison life. And man, it is like almost point for point exactly like the first two seasons of Oz, except with much less rape.
I would hope for less rape.
No, it's
there's more marmalade in it.
There's a lot of marmalade. It's really charming, and you get a lot of, I mean, this movie's filled with recognizable British actors. Brendan Gleeson plays Knuckles McGinty, who's like the badass.
I kept thinking of Bo the entire time.
I know, because you're always like, Brendan Gleeson looks like Bo. He does kind of look like Bo. There's a whole bunch of super recognizable people in there that you'd be like, oh, I know them. And of course, he charms the pants off the entire prison. I wasn't referring to prison rape. I mean,
he makes them pink, at least.
He makes them all pink. You know, and this all leads to a series of action set pieces eventually, you know, as the quest to retrieve the book and what have you. And it's all very silly, but in such a charming, magical realism sort of way.
It was one of the most charming movies I've ever seen. Like, probably ever, especially for a kid's film. Because a lot of times when I've seen things like this, you did hit the nail on the head as we were leaving. You mentioned one of my favorite foreign films,
Amelie,
which my brother showed me years ago, and it has that nice whimsical surrealness to it, and everything is just so insanely sweet, like his marmalade, because my God, he put a lot of sugar in that.
Oh, dude, he would have diabetes for sure. By
But yeah, the entire movie is just, it's that sweet, and it has jokes that work for every age. Like, I heard every single person in that theater laugh at most of the jokes.
Yeah. It's and like I said, in comparison to Amelie, it really is. If Amelie was a bear and instead of looking for love, romantic love, he was like trying to regain familial love.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, but it really is like that kind of movie in that same way. Like, reality just sort of gets magical around him in a weird sort of way.
Yeah. Cause when he first gets into the prison, it actually acts like not a normal prison, but everyone's acting somewhat realistic towards the fact that this guy who's just trying to be really sweet to them is just like, yeah, fuck off. I'm not like we're in prison. Yeah. Like, we don't give a shit
about
it. But
then he drugs them all with mask oils and sugar,
he gives them all diabetes, and everyone's like, he's the best. But no, like, yeah, everybody ends up falling in love with this character, and you can't, and hell, I fell in love with the character in the first 5 minutes of the movie.
You'll be resistant at first, I'm telling you. You're going to start watching this, and you're going to be like, all right, whatever, this is fine. I mean, I guess the bear looks okay, CG-wise. And like, it's slowly but surely, it will win you over till you'll probably be like me, and the last scene, you'll end up getting all teared up.
I was very, very happy by the time this movie was over. Like, I came in, pretty cynical about this. I'm like, it's Paddington Bear. What is this bullshit? And so I sit in there, and I'm just like, this is dumb. And then, because it didn't help that there was a trailer for a movie that didn't look all that interesting before it either.
Yeah.
And so as soon as the movie started, I'm like, this is going to be stupid. And then as, like, not even 5 minutes into it, I'm like, I really like this fucking bear.
If Paddington can't, like, melt your cynicism, then there may be no hope for you. You may want to go talk to a therapist or something.
Like, every single character in this movie is incredibly charming. Like, every single one, except for Doctor Who, but he's supposed to not
be charming.
He's
supposed to be the one guy who's not. I mean, even the guys who even Hugh Grant, who is hysterical here.
He's amazing in this movie.
Where his whole thing is, like, he's has pers- he has conversations with all the characters he's played, because he's got a secret room with all, like, the mannequins with all the outfits of characters he's played. So he has a whole conversation with himself, switching back and forth between these extremes of characters.
The best part, the best part is every time he talks to one, like, there's a reason as to why he's talking to that specific one.
Yeah.
He talks to Macbeth. He's like, "What about your conscience?" kind of thing. Which is the whole point of Macbeth. And when he thinks about money, he's like, "Scrooge, I understand what that you think is going to cost a lot of money," kind of thing. Like, every single attitude that he is thinking at that moment corresponds with one of the characters he played beforehand. And I was like, this is amazing.
My favorite bit, though, here is that they actually managed to sneak in the funniest Shakespeare joke I've ever heard in my entire life. I mean, it's kind of a deep cut. Hugh Grant goes, "Exit bear pursued by an actor," which is like a reversal of the actual line. Oh my God. That's
I
so
never would have got funny. That.
There's so many super clever little moments like that in here. And if, like, I mean, obviously no kid is going to get that joke, but there's plenty of really well-made slapstick going on all the way through this, you know, just like lots of visual humor. That
I think one of my favorites is pretty early on where it's a security guard for a church. Every time he says that he did something, it would cut to what he was actually doing at that moment, which is the complete opposite of what he said.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is one of those movies that moves so fast. It's just, it's constantly throwing
this
jokes
at
you.
After joke.
And a lot of them are just purely visual. Some of them are, I mean, like, at points you're like, it feels like it's become one of the better moments from a Wes Anderson movie all of a sudden, or, you know, stuff like that. There's like this great moment where they're showing a prison escape and they just totally do, like, they focus in on the warden has like a dollhouse of the prison and the dollhouse opens up and then you see all the guys in their segments.
It reminded me of, Grand Budapest Hotel, the when they're in prison kind of thing. Like, almost the same kind of way where he befriends them, all involving sweets.
It is weird, too, that Sally Hawkins gets an underwater scene. I was like...
Yeah, I couldn't stop thinking of Shallow.
I was like, you did another underwater scene?
I was like, is she going to try to fuck that bear? Which movie did I walk into?
She's in love with a bear. Just like, whatever, he's got a little cloaca. every time, like, if you're a British fan of movies and TV shows, there's just plenty of, like, stuff here that's going to make you happy along the way with all the appearances, with like Imelda Staunton, Michael Gambon, Joanna Lumley, Ben Miller, Jessica Hines, Noah Taylor, Tom Conti, Richard Iodé. I mean, this just, it just keeps coming.
I didn't recognize like 80% of the people in this.
Right. But I watch a lot of British television.
Yeah. You watch a lot of British television. Well, I watch a lot of anime. So
there were no anime characters.
No, amazingly enough. Yeah. Paddington and his aunt,
his eyes were too small.
And his uncle. And I guess Doctor Who.
Was there that, like, there's, I don't know, because he's a bear, my mind, you know, your mind tries to, you do this long enough, you start trying to think of your own jokes, and I kept thinking, like, there's a point where he shows how to intimidate to Knuckles, and it works, and he's like, what? Like, it's a magical spell, and I was like, dude, that bear is totally gonna maul that dude.
I totally thought he was gonna. I thought he was gonna like it was just gonna be blood flying everywhere all of a sudden.
It's like, you know, I'm half your size, but like four times your strength, right?
Yeah, like he's still a bear kind of thing. Like,
yeah, don't fuck with the bear.
Like, if this movie had been different, he would have mauled that dude within like a second.
But it's not that kind of movie. It's relentlessly sweet, but in a way that never like feels triacally. You know, it's is what it is. It's its own universe. It sets up its own rules for Paddington. This is who he is. This is why he is the way he is. And it acknowledges a world where, of course, not everybody feels that way. But he's got this aura around him that after you spend time with him, it just kind of rubs off on you and changes your whole personality.
And not only that, if you start questioning certain things, like then the whole, like then... You're not gonna.
The whole house of cards will fall.
Yeah, the whole house of cards will fall. Like, if you're wondering how he ended up making marmalade before he was given access to that kitchen, you're like, fuck it, I don't care.
Yeah. But, you know, obviously, you know, like I said, it's a magical realism film. This one is not trying. It's not trying to say, like, stick within the bounds of our reality.
It is its own reality.
But it sticks very closely within its own reality.
They have sets of rules, so much so that he goes to prison.
Yeah. And as such, there's, like, just. it's kind of a masterwork of construction of the way everything comes back around. Every little thing that happens,
even the smaller jokes, even if it feels like
a tiny little joke that was there just to be silly, ends off paying off in some other way later. And by the end, I was just marveling at it. It was like, wow, I was backtracking through my head of the stuff I missed because things were moving so fast. I was like, oh yeah, that happened earlier with that. And then there was that.
Yeah, characters do certain things that you're like, well, that's just the joke on their character. But then by the time the movie's over, you're like, oh wait, that actually came to something magical by the time it was over.
Yeah.
Like, there's only, like, one or two people that maybe don't really have that, but even then, not by a long stretch.
Yep. All right, so go to final thoughts. What do you think?
I love the shit out of this movie. I want to watch the first Paddington, which I will probably do later on. I was so incredibly happy by the time this movie was over that I couldn't stop grinning the entire time. And I honestly would love to watch it again, kind of thing. It was that much fun. The slapstick's amazing. The jokes are great. It's a joke a minute, and most of them land. Like, and if it doesn't, it's probably because I didn't understand it because it was so British. But that's not really a criticism. It's I understand why the first one must have done as well as it did, because whoever who is making these movies loves and cares about everything going on in these stories. And it works 100% because of it. And because of that, I would have to give it a rare 10 out of 10 marmalade sandwiches.
Nice. Yeah, I think we're right on the same board. It's ridiculous for me to think we're giving this movie based on Paddington fucking Bear a 10 out of 10.
But it's like the second movie that's come out this year.
I'm trying to like fucking rack my brain to think of something to complain about in this movie, and I just can't think of anything. It's just, I mean, if you're just too cynical if you're like, that definitely doesn't sound like my thing, it's possible it's not, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Whatever. But if you're like someone who can be, like, if you watched Amelie and it totally charmed you and you were blown away by it, this is the movie.
And you want your kids to feel that
this way. This is the movie Amelie for kids. But it'll charm you, the adults, just as well. It's that same sort of warmth based from really watching incredibly creative stuff come out.
Absolutely.
It's not treacly. It's not easy. They put it together in such a finely crafted way, and you end up with just a truly great children's film. I wish I could say whether or not I like this better than the original. I need to rewatch the original.
I haven't seen it, so I can't say.
I've loved the shit out of the original, but it's one of those, like, I don't know. I feel like I like this one a little bit better. So I am going to give this a 10 out of 10 big floppy rain hats. Because, you know. I mean, come on. I at this point, I'm just like, I'll take a whole series. I don't care. Keep them coming.
Does he have other clothes besides his...
I think he just has a style, you know?
Like, does he have, like, a closet full of hats and jackets, I hope?
Well, you know, after 6 o'clock, he puts on the tuxedo. He's like, what am I, a farmer? You
know? It's made of marmalade.
Marmalade?
Yeah, I accidentally messed it up midway.